Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, what would we do without it? What would we do without you, Lord? You're everything we need. You're our master, you're our savior, you're our shepherd, you're our judge. Lord, you are everything. Help us to start living like that, regardless of what's going on in our lives. Lord, we'd like to have everything smooth, and you know that, and easy, but it doesn't always work that way. So help us, Lord, to hear your word this morning, and we'll simply give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have to tell you something. This body, this one, this decrepit, I think I like to blame it on my six kids, but I can't. It's just old age. It can't go to heaven. Neither can your body go to heaven. We need a new one. Because our dying bodies cannot inherit that which will last forever. And the Lord knew that, and he's prepared a place for us, and he's prepared a new body. We'll know each other without name tags. Won't that be nice? I hate name tags. Anyway, but what kind of body will we have? We'll have it to be like Christ. I've been told that since I was a kid, or young person. And I remember when I taught high school Bible, I would say, well, if mine's like Christ, I can walk through a wall.
Wow. Uh-oh. Did you try it?
No.
You'd
be surprised what teenagers will tell you. I've learned more about parents than I would want to tell you. So anyway, we need a new one, and we're not to lose heart. You say, well, how come I have so many problems? How come this happens, and how come that happens? Well, let me tell you, God is molding us in to become like Christ. I don't do it well. I have a tendency to tell him, could you pick on somebody else? But he says, don't worry about the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know, that's what you need to remember when you read a newspaper or hear a news broadcast. It's not the Lord. It's not people that are in charge. It's the Lord that is in charge. Didn't you like those verses I gave you about speaking about your death is what I've got here in my notes. But demise would be another better answer. I loved it because it gave us good images. Sleep. And a nice thought. Sleep. In a tent. Ever gone camping? Well, you get it up fast, and you can take it down fast. And it's not permanent, especially if it starts pouring rain. And I like, absent from the body is present with the Lord. I claim that. So I'm looking forward to it. But my favorite one is found in Psalms 23, verse 4. I like the one from Psalm 23:4 because it talks about the shadow of death. Now, if you've had children, you know when they're little, they're afraid of shadows in their bedroom when they're trying to go to sleep. So you can go in as a mom and turn on the light and say, no shadows. When they get older, you can say, a shadow will never hurt you. Hang on to that fact. The shadow of death will not hurt you. They have nightmares and other things about things that are crawling around in their room. You don't worry about that too much. Well, the great white throne judgment, what I like best about that is found in chapter 20 of Revelation. It says, great white throne judgment. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. That's pretty powerful. And there was found no place for them. That's talking about the people that have come before him. I saw the dead and the small being judged by him. Now, it's what follows that I like so much. And that is found, it's found in chapter 20, verse 11 through 15 is the white throne judgment. But then John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. That's interesting, isn't it? Then I saw John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, that's us, as adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. You think that the Lord wants us? Isn't that beautiful? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death. Death is very troublesome, really. Nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain. For the former things, yahoo! The former things have passed away. Praise God. And that's what those verses to me are so beautiful. We'll get to there in a minute because it deals with judgments. We have three future judgments. Let's see if I can remember this. The first one is when you and I stand before the Lord and he reviews our life and gives us rewards. Now, the way I look at it is I'm just going to be happy to be there. That's all I care about. And that's called the Bema Seat. And that's for us. The judgment of nations, which I'd forgotten all about, that comes next. That's in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And that's at the end of the tribulation, just before the millennium kingdom, when Christ has destroyed the armies of the world that had attempted to destroy Israel. How we treat Israel is so very important. And I'm very happy we've got a president that is very pro-Israel. Yes. Well, the great white throne judgment happens at the end of the millennium. It will not in any way be like our courtroom trials. I was thinking, Judge Judy. Anyway, there'll be a judge, but no jury, no prosecution, no defense, and they will have no defense to stand on. This is the judgment at which sinners stand at the presence of a holy and just God to give an account for their sins. That would be tough, wouldn't it? So keep praying for your unsaved loved ones. It is one of the most awesome revelations of God given to us in the Word of God. Because we like to think about the Lord being our shepherd. Oh, I can sit on his lap, and that sort of thing. We want him very loving, and he is. But he has to deal with sin and sinners, or he'd be real wimpy. Just think about that. But remember, at the great white throne judgment, there are only unbelievers. There's no rewards there. All unsaved dead from the beginning of time to the millennium will be included in the resurrection. Everybody will be raised. Don't ask me about babies. I leave that up to the Lord. And anyone who's not found and written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. God, the only rightful judge, will settle the accounts. You know, you're going to say, well, my mother is there. What about that? She wasn't a believer. And I said, well, it'll be so holy and so just that the fact that God's going to make everything right will say to yourself, this is God, this is God's doing. And you will be pleased with it, I'm sure. Because you think about all the terrible things that happened today. One thing that really gets my goat is these infants on up of girls that are used in sex trade. That just, somehow that makes me sick. I'm sure it does to the Lord too. Well, almost 2,000 years ago, Christ was raised from the dead. And at the rapture, the saved of this world will also be raised from the dead. 7 years later, at the close of the tribulation, the martyred saints of the tribulation and the Old Testament saints will be raised from the dead. And we picked that up in Daniel 12, 1 and 2, and Isaiah 26, 19. I know most of you weren't here when we did Isaiah, and a lot of you weren't here for Daniel. But boy, those are the solid foundations in the Old Testament, along with Zechariah. All these constitute the first resurrection, also referred to as the resurrection unto life. Isn't that a great thought? Well, as I say, I'm not concerned about rewards. I just want to be there. But the longing for a future and glorious city of God can be traced all the way back to Abraham, who waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Can you imagine how gorgeous this thing is going to be? Hebrews 11:10 gives us that information. And actually, Jerusalem has several names. I think this is interesting, too. It is called a country. It's also called the holy city, the heavenly Jesus, the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion, Hebrews 12. A lot of things are found here in Hebrews. So I guess we're going to have to do that next year. Lord willing. The new Jerusalem is the crown of the new creation. You know, it's like God got started, and because we messed it all up, he's going to unmess it. And what an amazing God we have. Well, instead of heaven coming to earth here, which I just read to you in Revelation 21, heaven is going to come down to earth. And that's interesting. The horrible, tragic things that go on in this world due to sin will be gone. We'll be absent. I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine sin not being in my life. I practice it so carefully. So, but it'll be absent from the New Jerusalem, for the former things have passed away. That's found in 21st chapter of Revelation. Those former things include those who during their life on earth preferred sin over righteousness. Please note that. John describes indescribable beauty. All he had was the language of his day. Can you imagine if he had the language that we have today? It would be something else. But the number 12 occurs 8 times in the description of the city. There are 12 gates, never closed, 12 foundations, 12 angels, 12 tribes. Where do I get all this? Chapter 21. And those tribes undoubtedly refer to Israel, 12 apostles, And those foundations are probably not separate from each other, but are 12 layered encircling the city. Its brilliant colors would blend together to add to beauty. And you just hang on a minute and think about who created the rainbow? Well, all those colors. And when I can see the dark one, that's the one I like best, purple or blue. And it's amazing, its beauty. It's for our remembrance and for our pleasure. And then there's a gigantic measurement of the New Jerusalem. This is a little wild. It's 1,400 miles on one side. It's a cubical shape, 1,960,000 square miles, four times the size of Alaska today. Who will dwell there? Well, I remember hearing a pastor say one time, everybody that's ever been born. But they, of course, won't all be there. Every tribe and tongue and nation throughout all history, all the redeemed, a godly city in this New Jerusalem. There's no temple for the Lord God Almighty. The Lamb is its temple. I can't even imagine this. John must have had a terrible time writing it. The glory of God illuminates it, and the Lamb gives it light. This will be a nation on the earth, and they will be free to come and go through those gates because they'll never be closed. And I read that those gates are like diamond bracelets. Can you imagine? Oh, the chief characteristic of the city is holiness. And that's something we need to really grasp hold of today, because there sure isn't much holiness around. The 12 gates are part of the wall and glittering like a diamond bracelet. It's a city of life. A river of life flows from God's throne, watering the trees. It goes right back to Genesis, doesn't it? Where they had all the trees, and now God will be watering these and with a river. Well, God's servants will have fulfilled the work to do that God has given them. But think about that. You're gifted with something, and you're going to get to fulfill that in heaven. I wonder what our work will be. I'll be anxious to see. I hope I don't say, oh, that's too much work, because I know it won't be. Heaven refers to all these, a vast kingdom, a paradise. We can just imagine its beauty. But when we call heaven the Father's house, we think of intimacy and permanency. That's your Father, not your earthly one. Your earthly one might have failed you terribly, and your mother for that much. But we're looking forward to a heavenly place where our Father dwells. The most important feature of the New Jerusalem is that God the Lamb will be there forever. Isn't that a wonderful thought? One of my leaders out in Brentwood, pastor is retiring, and last Sunday he spoke on, of all things, Revelation 19, and she gave me a list. I also have in my Bible, this is the one I'm reading through this year, and I have a bookmark that says how to be ready for the rapture. So if I'm not ready for the rapture, something's terribly wrong with me. Anyway, I'll read these to you because I think they're how are we to live now and as we await his coming. This fellow's name is Larry Adams. You may know of him. We worship him as King of Kings. Worship is the expression of worth. What we value of highest worth in our lives becomes an object or person of worship. Jesus is the King of Kings who is to be of ultimate worth in all our worship. John describes him as faithful and true, with eyes like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns, with a name so great it is yet to be revealed. Isn't that something? So a lot ahead of us. To have anyone or anything in a higher place or devotion in our life makes that thing an idol, and we will be idolaters. Often, the one we worship most is self, yes, and life it produces is obvious. But the fruit of the life of that worships Jesus is so always so obvious. Haven't you met people like that? They're just overflowing with the Lord, and you want to be around them. Jesus is always to be our prize. We follow him as Lord of Lords. If Jesus is not Lord of our life, someone or something else will be. I think that's very sobering. If Jesus is not Lord of our life, someone or something else will be. And if you don't have him as Lord of Lords, King of Kings in your life, then find out why. What am I doing? It's so important. Like the armies of heaven following him on his return, so we are to follow him now. Don't put it off. We follow him because of what he yet will do. We follow him because of what he's done. We follow him because who he is. Those who follow him as Lord live to obey his word and do his will. When he comes again to make things right, no one will miss him. That's the big return. And the important thing is that we know who he is and don't miss coming to him now. It's now. And receive him into our lives because we believe in him. Now, I don't know where you are, but I like to think about if he's not Lord of my life, then who is? And that's what I need to concentrate on. I think that question on the second page, no, I don't have it, that talks about your kingdom, I want it to be the Lord's. That's all. You know, next step I may be in his presence. So if you haven't made that decision someplace along in your life, and don't count on something that happened 20 years ago, think about it now. Where are you now? So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your precious word again. What a savior you are. You're everything we need. And if we think something else is more important, then we have an idol in our life. Help us to be delivered of that, Lord. Help us to put you as number one. And then, Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't have you as number one, today might be the day that changes their life, that they'll say, I want you, Lord, more than anything else in my life. And we'll just give you the praise for what you're going to do. And everyone said, Amen.